It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it.
Say my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner. PJ Tucker. Gordon by Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, a Trade Target Tuesday episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show at Locked On Rockets, and of course the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now joining us today, one of the contributors to Clutch City Control Room, the Stanford man himself, Mr. Karthik Prasad. How are you doing, KP?
I'm good, Jackson. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk some hypothetical Rockets trade scenarios with you, as well as, you know, just some other, we'll pick apart some of the listener suggested trade scenarios and kind of discuss those near the tail end of the pod. But first things first, we have a bit of breaking news to discuss in Doc Rivers being let go as the Clippers head coach and what that could mean for the Rockets. The fact that Doc Rivers is now pretty much immediately the top candidate of the entire coaching pool of available, you know, head coaching position or head coaching, candidates out on the market right now. But I don't particularly want him as the Rockets head coach. I just don't see how a guy who's had so much so many struggles in the playoffs to this point in his career, I don't see why that would be a good fit for the Rockets, especially because we are currently moving on from a guy who's had a lot of regular season success and has had some really loaded rosters over the years, but has also come up short a little bit in the playoffs in Mike D'Antoni. How are you feeling about this whole situation right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell what Houston will base their decision on. I mean, on one hand, I think one of the biggest signals they'll look for is championship experience. So I think that's the one piece, you know, across our team that we're missing. And so Could someone like Doc Rivers be on that list? Yeah. I mean, I think a bunch of folks on Twitter have talked about being able, Tillman being able to say, yeah, we've got a championship coach here. But you're right. Like, I mean, it's between a proven coach with a high floor or someone new that, you're in essentially a 2-year window, and can you afford a new coach? That's how I'm feeling, which is like kind of going back and forth between someone who will immediately command respect, but also someone who will come in with a new perspective and put their own stamp on things. And, as for Doc himself, I never thought that the Clippers organization set him up for success. And I think it was kind of like a failed partnership to me over the long term. I do think he has his weaknesses now. I mean, like, you blow that many 3-1 leads, there's got to be something that you have as a weakness. But that being said, I mean, I think his teams play hard, especially when he's had younger, hungrier teams. And then I do think he can command respect of multiple stars and do so in a way that holds them accountable. But clearly there's something about, like, being able to get them to close series that I think is missing. I'm lukewarm on Doc. I mean, I'm personally in the camp of, we need a fresh face and we need someone who can innovate, is not afraid to innovate and try new things.
Fresh face, like, are we talking like a Nick Nurse fresh face or a fresh face like somebody who hasn't held a head coaching position before? I'm trying to see which camp you're falling into.
Hasn't held a head coaching position before.
Are you petitioning for a certain somebody that I think you might be petitioning for?
If that certain someone used to play for the Rockets, then yeah. I do really think that Sam Cassell would be a great option here because of that. Like, I think he would be able to come in with creativity and apply everything, like the best principles of the job right now, as opposed to kind of older habits that these older coaches have.
And I think that with Cassell too, he strikes me as the type of personality just from what he was like as a player. I wasn't able to appreciate Cassell really in his heyday with the Houston Rockets, you know, coming into the league, winning the back-to-back championships. I wasn't able to appreciate him in the late 90s or mid to late 90s and even chunks of the early 2000s. But just, you know, looking back and reading about what I've read about him in different stories and all and the research that I've done, he strikes me as the kind of guy who would be able to command that respect from both James Harden and Russell Westbrook while also being maybe not necessarily like an innovator, but somebody who can, you know, I really like the guard angle, honestly, of him being a former guard and maybe being able to find ways to make the game a bit easier for both Harden and Russ, just from angles that we haven't thought about before. And looking at just a fresh mind on the scene, right? I think the biggest issue that we fall into is the trap of saying, oh, well, people being frustrated with Mike D'Antoni and thinking, oh, well, he's a bad coach. He's not a bad coach. Mike D'Antoni is a phenomenal coach, an all-time great coach who had just kind of reached his end point here in Houston, unfortunately. And I think with the way that this roster is presently constructed, with two superstars with a short window left in their primes to try and make something happen, you need a shakeup. You need a jolt. You need something into the organization to try and bring some life in. And because they can't exactly do that, or there's not really a million different ways to do that via trades because they're kind of limited, which we will touch base on here in the next couple segments. But because they're limited in that avenue, they had to do it through coaching. And so I'm in that camp with you. I've got Sam Cassell. I was leaning originally JVG at first. I really was hoping for it. Like if I could just have a blank check, I said JVG, Alvin Gentry as lead assistant. But I think Sam Cassell is a bit more realistic. Small plug for the Wednesday episode. Matt Bullard's actually going to be joining me for the Wednesday pod. And we'll actually be discussing Sam Cassell and what his thoughts are as Sam Cassell's former teammate. And
that'd be great.
What he thinks about Sam as a potential Rockets head coach. But with that, that kind of wraps up our first segment. So KP and I are going to dive straight into some trade hypotheticals of his own concoction here in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at rockauto.com. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers, whereas rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody, and they're always reliably low. They always offer the lowest possible prices rather than changing prices based on what the market can bear, kind of like what airlines do. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, RockAuto.com, they're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can check them out. Just go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure, this is the important part, be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. One more message from our friends over at DoorDash. Look, between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty, and I mean plenty, on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. I use DoorDash at least like 3 or 4 times. Honestly, I probably use it a little bit too much, but like I love it so much because it's so easy. You just crack open the app, figure out what you want to eat, find your favorite restaurant, and have it delivered directly to your door. Best of all, you can continue supporting the restaurants in your community safely because there are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. It's so easy. Just open the app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with their new contactless delivery drop-off setting. So remember, that's $5 off your order and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. So that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off, $5 off your first order with DoorDash. And we're back here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you haven't checked it out yet, check out our new call-in line. You can call directly in and leave a message for the show, 713-487-5457. So call in, leave a message for the show. If it's good, I'll play it back right here on the pod, and you'll be able to hear yourself on the show. And then myself and potentially a guest, maybe like KP, will break down whatever topic you bring up. So with that, KP, let's dive straight into it. I want to hear, because you've been on social media, you've been on Twitter, kind of throwing out some guys that you're looking at as potential trade targets for the Rockets, some package deals where maybe the Rockets get back two players in place of just one Eric Gordon, situations like that. What are some of the leading candidates for trades that you've kind of mocked up so far in your head?
Yeah, and I think it's helpful to talk about, you know, how are the different avenues that I think the Rockets can use to improve the roster. So one of them that we talked about, which is not a trade idea, is just using the mid-level exception to sign a player. I think everyone's kind of talked about that at length, so I'll ignore that for now. I think that the biggest avenues really center around Eric Gordon. He's going to, as you know, he signed an extension last offseason, roughly $17-18 million for the next couple seasons. His deal actually ends at the same time as Harden and Russ's, but he has a non-guaranteed fourth year. Eric Gordon is from a salary standpoint the way that we can improve the roster, and I think there's a couple ways. One is that you include him in a deal. Especially in a 3 or 4 team deal.
Hang on, wait, KP. I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just want to clear one thing up really quick. Are you operating on the assumption that Daniel House will not regain favor with the Rockets? Because that's been a big thing that I've been operating under, assuming that Daniel House is more than likely gone this offseason. So in a lot of my hypotheticals, Daniel House has been included. So I want to know where you're operating from.
I think he'll be on the table. I don't think it's a given from what I can tell.
Okay.
I think with a new coach and a new, you know, and other new pieces, I think they'll give him a chance to kind of reset his fit with the team. And I think there's enough circumstance around that that it's not worth giving up him as an asset unless the right deal comes along. I think they'll treat it as they do any other summer with him, that he's, you know, a great value deal. And if something comes on their plate that improves the roster, then he's on the table. But I do think Eric Gordon is like his regular season value just isn't there anymore. And so, especially with Russ, I think the fit with Russ just limits his upside. And so a couple of things. Number one, I think you can trade him for an older player on a bigger deal. Think Al Horford, right? Where Philadelphia is trying to get off of his contract. The reason they signed him was to preserve this ability to trade Horford for another player. Now, in that scenario, you'd probably include Daniel House. But what that allows the Rockets to do is essentially multiply salaries from 20, roughly, for Eric Gordon and Daniel House, to 27 with Horford. That then puts you in reach for any max player given with a combination of picks. I think that's pretty unlikely, but it's possible, especially if Tillman is willing to spend, which is a huge if. Avenue number two is to take Eric Gordon and essentially use his salary, 17 to 20 million range, but split it up into two players. Josh Richardson and Mike Scott, also in Philadelphia, come to mind. And the reason there is that Josh Richardson is a younger player on a shorter deal. Mike Scott's an expiring deal. Now, you could replace a good amount of Eric Gordon's production that way and still kind of give you more salary cap flexibility both this season and down the line. I think the most likely outcome, unfortunately, and I think Rockets fans would, you know, nod their head but also hate this, is to trade Eric Gordon for a lower salary player. And that could be, you know, think Thomas Satoransky from Chicago, a combo guard, $10 million deal, saves the Rockets cap space. The good thing about that avenue is it opens up other avenues, like using a non-taxpayer mid-level exception and potentially even the biannual exception. If they feel like they can't get a third star this year, they might as well play under the hard cap and add two or three players for the price of Eric Gordon. So there's a couple, there's a route there in which they say, hey, like Eric's great, but you know, we can replace most of his production with a cheaper player and get some flexibility on how we sign free agents.
My crazy thing is now, I kind of think that a chunk of Eric Gordon's production, and you know, we talked about the fit, right? The fit is a little awkward with Eric Gordon alongside Russell Westbrook. And it's because they really did relegate Eric into that spot up 3-point shooter role. And he just wasn't able to flourish at all in that role this past season. And we've seen some success in prior seasons, but it was also CP was never quite as ball dominant as Russ is, in the sense that he was constantly looking for ways to legitimately run an offense, run sets, and specifically run a lot of sets for Eric Gordon when those two shared the court together. So I genuinely think that a guy like Ben McLemore, with increased minutes and a bigger spot in the rotation next season under a new head coach, can give some of that production and can be that legitimate spot up 3-point shooting threat that Eric Gordon was supposed to be next to Russ. And I've advocated for Ben McLemore being essentially the second guard off the bench next to James Harden and Russell Westbrook in the Russ only and Harden only minutes next season, because the fit makes more sense than both Gordon and, if for some reason he's back next year, Austin Rivers.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the thread you're on, which is how can we get real catch and shoot shooters, is a big deal. Like, I mean, Eric, in that spot up role, he's got to be able to have a quick trigger and be able to move and shoot, you know, from space. And I think that's a big need now with Harden and Russ. Because ideally, if you're going to have more drive and kicks, you want guys who can raise up quickly. And Ben fits that, and they'll probably, I'm hoping, go after a taller shooter. But you're right. I mean, like, you can replace that 3-point shooting production with someone like Ben McLemore. So then, how can you use Eric Gordon to balance the roster from a height and a height and position standpoint in the front court? So that to me is a really big path. And the other thing that I think could happen is there are a couple of teams, you know, Minnesota comes to mind, that they have cap space before they go and try and re-sign their restricted free agents. And I know Malik Beasley is in trouble with the law, but in theory, these teams have a window to fill that cap space with a veteran like Eric Gordon and then sign their restricted free agent over the cap. And so there's a couple teams like that. Sacramento's another, where, you know, they might just say, hey, we're willing to give you a trade exception for a guy like Eric Gordon and maybe a pick or something before we re-sign our free agents. And the Rockets might do that if they feel like they can get a free agent via sign and trade. And so that's an opportunity there. And we've all pined over Jeremy Grant or even Serge Ibaka, but who would, I think, both command salaries in the Eric Gordon range. So that's just an underrated storyline for me, is like, will some of these teams who have cap space, who don't really have access to other free agents, take on Eric Gordon, and can the Rockets find another avenue to add a player in that trade exception?
All right. Coming up here in our final segment, I want to hear a specific one or two trade scenarios directly from you, because we've kind of laid the groundwork now for kind of what we're looking for out of a trade, how to best improve this roster, the areas of need, and some of the kind of baseline logistics behind a trade. So I want to get one or two specific XYZ, this player for this player, in a trade scenario coming up in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Chatting with Clutch City Control Room contributor, the Stanford man himself, Mr. KP. Now, KP, let's get into these exact trade scenarios. So give me one or two right off the top of your head that you're kind of interested in, that you really could see the Rockets pulling the trigger on.
Yeah, one of them is with Chicago. And whether Eric Gordon stays there or gets routed to a third team, I don't know. But for Tomas Satoransky and Thaddeus Young, who both make, you know, $10, $13 million combined, it's kind of the most you can get for Eric Gordon himself from a salary and player standpoint. I think you add two longer players, 6'7", 6'9", both versatile defenders. I like Satoransky as a combo guard who's pass first, and I like Thaddeus Young as one of the better perimeter, like, hybrid defenders in the league. And I think both kind of – they essentially had last year off, and would a change of scenery to a winner could really do them well. And I think both of them being able to pass is a huge thing for me as I look at players that could fit here in the summer. So that's one avenue I'm really interested in. It also gives us a couple of different salary price points. at 10 and 13, like, you know, just opens up different moves, whether it's this year, next summer,
a couple different doorways. Yeah. To just for some flexibility. Cause right now you're looking at the team and the only kind of mid-tier tradable salary is Eric Gordon himself, because you look at Robert Covington and PJ Tucker, who are largely considered almost untouchables at this point with, you know, what you had to give up to get Covington in the first place. And then PJ Tucker, given his relationship with James Harden and how important he really is to the team, unless you're able to bring in a legitimate like stretch five or something using the MLE money, you know, PJ Tucker is pretty much untouchable until you fill that gap somehow. So.
Yeah. And Thad Young himself is actually an incredible defender. I mean, there's a couple articles about him and his success against Giannis. His length, he's an excellent corner three-point shooter. I think he'd fit right in. He just can score in a variety of different ways. So just players like that who are multi-skilled on current bad rebuilding teams who have kind of movable contracts in a flexible range. That's what I'm going after. And I think both of those fit the bill in kind of one trade. And it helps that Chicago just hired a Maury disciple as GM. So you just never know where those gems can come from.
Yeah. And, you know, you know, I think the interesting thing too, that you and I kind of both hit on while we were watching the closeout game of the Miami Heat and Boston Celtics of the Eastern Conference Finals, just looking at the guys that were on the court for that Heat lineup, how everybody on that court was able to create for themselves or create for others. They were all versatile. They were all skilled. And even though, and here's the best part, right, is technically speaking, they had two non-shooters on the court in Bam Adebayo and Andre Iguodala. Right. You know, two guys that you would consider as non-shooting options. Now, yes, Bam does have a mid-range game, but he doesn't stretch that game all the way out to the three-point line. And then Iguodala is a poor three-point shooter who just so happened to have another amazing game, as Rockets fans are so painfully familiar with. Again, you know, Andre Iguodala in Game 6 is named a more iconic duo. But legitimately, that five on the court for Miami, everybody could pass, everybody could, you know, three of them could shoot. You know, they were able to take players off the dribble. They could all defend very well. It was a very complimentary group of guys. And to think about a Rockets team where there are times where PJ Tucker or Robert Covington get in trouble offensively because their roles have been so reduced on that side of the court for years now. I mean, Robert Covington obviously has only been here for a minute, but legitimately, because of the style, because of the way that the offense is so tailored to the ball stays in Harden's hands or Russ's hands, they generate a good look for somebody and it's a three-point shot and tends to be one and done trips down the court. I'm hopeful that a head coach, whoever comes in next, is able to give a bit of a, you know, some new wrinkles offensively and kind of empower the players a little bit to have a little bit more freedom offensively. Not saying we want to take the ball out of James Harden's hands, because he's still the most lethal when he does have the ball in his hands, but to not have it be a point where, okay, PJ Tucker catches the ball in the corner and there's no three there, he has to immediately reset it, right? Just to empower the guys to be a little bit more proactive offensively, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and you know, last thing I'd say on this one is having guys who are skilled as passers makes a huge difference, because they can be engines for the offense. You can run other guys off screens. You can you can even get James Harden catch and shoot opportunities or quick cuts to the basket. Russ is an excellent off ball player. There's just so many more layers they can add to the game, but they do need players who can cut, who can move, who can pass. And I'm hoping that just even adding a dosage of that to our offense, and especially with a new, you know, coach, can just open things up for James and Russ.
All right. Well, with that, let's dive into some of these listener suggestions. So we've got our first one from, hey, you know what? This is sort of technically a listener, but from our fellow Clutch City Control Room contributor, Zach Zola. So Zach is suggesting Eric Gordon for Will Barton straight up, which is an interesting proposal. Not one that I'm 100% sure that Denver says yes to, but what are your thoughts on this, KP?
Yeah, it just depends on what happens with Denver. Certainly, like, you know, Will Barton didn't play at all, and you know, they kind of have a glut now between Harris, Will Barton, and Michael Porter Jr. at those kind of 2-3 spots. And, you know, he's got a 2-3 years more left on his deal. I think they could use a it depends on what they do. I mean, if they lose Jeremy Grant in free agency, Then they've got to think about how to upgrade that roster. The reason I think Eric Gordon could make sense is because then you essentially replace both Barton and Harris in one package, but then you can use both Barton and Harris for different deals. And so if I'm Denver now, I could ship Gary Harris for a front court player, as an example. He's a young player, a good young player on a friendly deal. So that's why I think, you know, they might opt in. And I think to me, Harris and Eric Gordon are pretty similar. So my thing in reacting to that is Denver is going to try to find players that fit their system. Eric Gordon can fit their system. And then they have a couple of guys in Harris and Barton that can then be moved for different for front court players should they lose, you know, whether it's Plumlee, Millsap, or Jeremy Grant in free agency. So it's just an interesting team that you know, they'll think long-term about Jokic and Murray. So just a player that they just really don't need.
One thing to think about from Denver's perspective too, is they also have to worry about not only Jeremy Grant leaving and potentially seeking more money, you know, on the open market, but they've also got to figure out a way to get Paul Millsap back. And, you know, he's on a gigantic firing deal, and, you know, he's not going to re-sign for anywhere near what he, you know, what his supposed max could be as kind of a player who's a bit long in the tooth now. But I fully expect Millsap to return to the Nuggets. It's just a question of how much money is it going to be a deal that's acceptable to both sides for somebody that's at this point in his career that he is in. And, you know, will it, I think that at that point it becomes an issue of how much of a tax impact are the Nuggets willing to, you know, pay for? They made the Western Conference Finals. You know, they looked okay-ish against the Lakers. But do they really feel that they're in this win now window where they want to re-sign Millsap to a, you know, a 2 or potentially 3 year deal, maybe around, you know, that $10 to $15 million range, kind of a, you know, you've been important to us, but you're not worth, you know, over 20 mil kind of contract. It's interesting. And alongside the Jeremy Grant situation, if they get kind of cap strung by re-signing both of those guys, then getting a guy back like Eric Gordon, who is locked down for the next few years and then kind of makes Gary Harris a bit more expendable, makes a little bit of sense. So I can kind of see it from both standpoints, and I wouldn't be opposed to Barton on this team. And he's another, you know, just like Eric Gordon, is probably a more tradable contract than Eric Gordon in the long term. So that's an interesting answer.
Yeah. And Harris, I think is a free agent after next year. I think he has a player option. And so, you know, one of the things Denver's got to consider is they're probably not paying Gary Harris another max deal, or the fact is that Gary Harris probably won't stay. So they have really a year, I think, to maximize return and or just replace him and move him for a different player. So there's just a lot of dynamics like that across the league, and Barton just a longer player who can catch and shoot, do a bunch of different things that could fit in with our current team.
Yeah, and you kind of mentioned there's a lot of situations like that where you look at teams across the league who are about to be, you know, they have either got max extensions that are kicking in. Like I've used the Pacers as this main example, where you try to justify any of these trades that you're making involving the Pacers. And my standpoint for a lot of them have been, well, look, they're getting ready to have, you know, Sabonis's extension's about to kick in. They're going to be capped out to all hell, and they're not going to be able to make any roster improvements. So if Oladipo decides to walk at the end of next season, then they're still capped out. They can't replace Oladipo's production immediately. So one of my points advocating, you know, getting Eric Gordon to Indiana for some type of a deal, returning, you know, Miles Turner or potentially even Victor Oladipo, you know, a super stretch, was the fact that they have to look at their long-term situation, and do they want to be competitive, or do they want to let said player walk for nothing and then have nothing to replace that value when you could have, you know, Eric Gordon.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's not going to give you the exact amount of production, but he can get kind of close to it. This next trade is really interesting because it's a guy that a lot of Rockets fans like to talk about, but a potential sign and trade for Christian Wood. So Christian Wood would be signed and then traded to the Houston Rockets. This one's really interesting. First off, I love the idea of Christian Wood in a Rockets jersey. I don't think Detroit's going to let him go, but I do like this idea. But I have some issues with it, but I want to hear your thoughts first, KP.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I think he's going to command a deal in the $10 million range. Like, he's a Jeremy Grant type of player without the, like, proven production in the postseason. So, like, yes, oozing with potential – length, multi-skilled, but like, it's going to be hard for someone to pay, you know, $15 million in a 4-year deal. for Christian Wood. Now, I think Detroit will probably try and re-sign him, but he holds that right. And so I would love him on the Rockets, obviously. And I think the only pathway really to make that happen, because I don't see Detroit being interested in Eric Gordon, is if one of those teams with cap space takes on Eric Gordon. And we have a trade exception to which to accept that sign and trade from Christian Wood. But super rare, but I mean, it would be a home run or something like that to get Christian Wood.
A player of that quality, yeah, with that much potential. Now, here's my thing is, I don't see a situation in which the Rockets are able to operate under a hard cap. I just can't see it. You know, they're sitting right now with just the contracts that they have lined up, you know, as supposing Austin Rivers opts out of his contract for next year. They're sitting at like 128.3, I think. And we're looking at another luxury tax line of $133 million, which would mean a hard cap would be floating around the $139 million range. And imagining a team, imagining receiving Christian Wood back in a situation like that, even if we were saying he's on a friendly, we'll say $10 million deal, you jettison Eric Gordon for nothing, take back no salary. So you drop another six. I still struggle to see that team really operating under that hard cap and being able to flesh out an entire roster, because then you're almost still relegating yourself to that taxpayer MLE, because there's almost a certainty in my mind that they're going to break that $133 million threshold. That's basically a given at this point to me.
Yeah. There's one pathway that if you move Eric Gordon for like, and Eric Gordon and maybe, you know, Chris Clemens, and you renounce Austin Rivers, and all of a sudden now, and you take back or you replace those three with a $14 million salary. The only reason I could see the Rockets doing that is if they felt like someone like Serge Ibaka said, "Hey, like bring me to Houston for $9 million for 3 years, each year for 3 years," and they're, you know, they thought that that was probably the best value addition they could do. And that the player they get back in that $14 million range rounded out their roster. Now all of a sudden they felt like they had their 8-7-8 guys. I mean, we did this with when we traded for Chris Paul. I mean, we signed PJ to the non-tax MLE. We were operating in the hard cap that year, if I'm not mistaken.
Hey, let's put some respect on Joe Chi's name, all right? He took up a little bit of that non-taxpayer MLE. We got to shout out Joe Chi on this podcast.
Exactly. So yeah, the precedent is there, and maybe we'll find another Joe T. But I just I think it's possible. It just depends on if, you know, how much recruiting people are doing right now with Harden and Russ, and if they can get someone to take that non-tax MLE that they wouldn't have had access to otherwise.
All right. Well, I got to give a quick shout out because that was our guy. Hang on. I had him right here and then I lost him. Of course, I did. Joey Bacon. There we go. Who suggested that trade sent me the Space City Scoop link in regards
there
to
go,
the
Joey.
Christian Wood trade. Yeah. So I appreciate that one, Joey. Let's get another one. We got two more in here that I want to line up. So this next one, it comes from our guy, B. Bryant. Now, I called out B. Bryant as being a potential covert ops for the Knicks, because the last trade he suggested seemed to favor the Knicks a little bit heavily. Now this is our guy B. Bryant is a big fan of these monster trade deals. So here we go. Rockets receive it is a four-way trade between the Rockets, the Pacers, the Knicks, and the Wizards. And the Rockets walk away with Miles Turner, Bobby Portis, and Bradley Beal.
Wow.
Pacers come away with Eric Gordon, Taj Gibson, Elfrid Payton, and a swath of first-round picks from the Knicks. The Knicks walk away with Russell Westbrook and Victor Oladipo, who are reunited, and it feels so good. The Wizards walk away with Nilakita, Julius Randle, a pair of first-round picks, and the number 8 first-round pick in this year's draft. So all of these picks are coming from the Knicks, but they're walking away with Westbrook and Oladipo. I don't know how realistic any of this is, but I like the idea of Beal in a Rockets jersey.
If there's any way to get Beal in the Rockets jersey, I think anyone would do it in a heartbeat.
I think even some of the Russ stands would say, let's just do it. Like, let's just go to New York and have fun up there, and we can still like cheer for the Rockets on the side, because Beal is a complimentary piece to Harden. The way that he plays the game is just a lot more complimentary than, you know, Russ's style. And that's just facts, unfortunately. But this is a loaded trade. The Knicks are giving up 6 first round draft picks and a second round draft pick. But man, did they get their guy in Russell Westbrook and Victor Oladipo.
Ooh, I mean, listen, if that price is on the table, I mean, it's hard to say no. It's just you never know. You never know with the New York Knickerbockers.
As a Rockets fan, I would exuberantly say hell yes to this trade. Yeah. I think the other parties involved might feel like they're getting shortchanged just a skosh. So, but just wanted to highlight that one. And then I've got another one here, and our guy. So from the electrifying phenom. And I saw this trade, and I missed it on the last trade target Tuesday. And I'm looking it over, and I didn't get a chance to look it over until early this morning. And so here's the proposal. Harden and Russ for Bledsoe, Middleton, and DiVincenzo, and the Bucks' first and second round picks of the 2020 draft. So, and the reasoning is so that way Harden and Russ can compete. And it allows Milwaukee to better retain Giannis. So at this point, are we, hey, electrifying phenom, are you a covert agent for the Bucks? Because so here we go. I understand the reasoning, because he reasons that the Rockets need to get younger and that they can also subsequently then trade Eric Gordon to the Kings for their 2020 first round pick because they were close to making the playoffs. So maybe they're about a piece away. But here's my thing is in any trade, involving either Harden or Westbrook in any trade, blowing this all up. One, I think you're able to get a much bigger return for James Harden than that, right? Like if you're drafting a James Harden trade right now, KP, like you've given up on this organization, like you're ready to hit the reset button. How many draft picks and what are you looking for in a James Harden reset trade?
At least what the Clippers got for Paul George. I think it'd be 3 first round picks and a cornerstone young player. So there's no way that I would take anyone over the age of 26 and for James Harden. It's got to be a young star with 3 first round picks. Because presumably I'm going to send him to where he wants to go, which would be a place that he can win. And I think that team would empty the pick treasure chest in order to get him. So I mean, people have talked about, you know, Ben Simmons is that type of similar or cornerstone in which it'd be, you know, young, proven all-star type of player plus at least 2 to 3 first round picks to if I have to move on from James Harden, which I don't want to do, but that would be the price for me.
And I haven't subscribed to that notion yet. I might be more warm to the idea next summer, depending on what this next season looks like. But I think it's very clear that there is a 2-year window. Now there was one that caught my eye, and I was like, I kind of felt dirty from like thinking about it, but it caught my eye, and it was the idea of just trading Harden to the Warriors for the second overall pick, Wiggins, and then like a treasure trove of future first round picks, right? In the distance first round picks, like as far as you can go down and still abide by the Stepien rule. And basically just, it would be Golden State mortgaging their future for the chance to be favorite title contenders for the next 3 to 5 years. So they'd be the dominant Golden State Warriors again with Curry, Harden, Clay, Dre, Kevon Looney, and then whatever they can pull in for a bench unit. And the Rockets would be sitting on this treasure trove of draft picks. And then this is under the assumption, too, that Russell Westbrook would be jettisoned to, like, the Knicks or the Wizards or some other team that, you know, would gladly take him on and give back at least neutral parts and maybe a draft asset or two, something like that. And that's the one where I looked at it and I was like, man, this would get Harden a ring, like, absolutely, unless some type of a train wreck scenario happened. This would net him a ring and set up the Rockets beautifully for the future. But there's, like, a part of me in my heart that just wouldn't be able to do that unless he specifically asked for it. If he came to Morey and was like, please send me to the Warriors so I can win a damn title. If he did it, I would have to, like, willingly, like, just oblige, but I would be so distraught in doing so.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. By that point, he would have given us 10 years. Under any circumstances, I'm trading James Harden this year. But to your point, next summer, if that deal comes, I guess your scenario was the number two pick. I don't think we could do it this year. I mean, you've got an MVP in his prime, and I don't think you would be blowing up the team, you know, based on nothing necessarily. And so, but, you know, if he said tomorrow, hey, like, this is my decision, I'm done here, then yeah, you know, send him to where he wants to go. Honestly, like, I just.
Oh, absolutely. I think at the end of the day, the Rockets organization is going to do right by James Harden no matter what. I also don't picture him as the guy who's going to ask to leave. I think that he's going to be the guy who sticks it out for better or for worse here in Houston. And if that means he retires without a ring, you know, disappointingly, and, you know, as frustrating as that would be, seeing how close he's gotten so many times, that would be very upsetting. But I would also really respect his loyalty for wanting to stick it out in the place that he has really claimed as his home. You know, he's like many Houstonians, there's a lot of Houstonians that are transplants, but once they get here, they call this place home forever. And James Harden is easily one of those guys. Him talking about, or I apologize, hearing Gerald Green talk about James Harden at Rockets Media Day was so heartwarming, because Gerald is the most Houston guy to the bone, right? And, you know, reps the city like no other. And so to hear him talking about James Harden's love for the city at Media Day meant a lot, and kind of showed the type of person he's grown into and become as a Houstonian.
Yeah, I mean, he is just one title away in Houston from, you know, a statue worthy future. I mean, we haven't had the caliber of player, you know, similar to Hakeem, or since Hakeem as James Harden. So, yeah, I mean, if we ever have to broach that thing, it's just going to be wherever James wants, and hopefully the team that will comply and give us some picks.
Yeah, something to dry our tears with. All right, KP. Well, I appreciate you stopping by to hang out for this episode. Go ahead and let the listeners know where they can track you down at.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at StanfordKP, or in the Clutch City Control Room blog and podcast levels. And, you know, really appreciate you having me on, Jackson. And it's always fun to talk trade ideas. It's only going to increase from here. I think this is our current obsession right now, is how can we improve the roster. So looking forward to it, and looking forward to the next podcast as well.
Absolutely, man. As always, thank you so much for joining the show. Really appreciate it. For today's show, that's going to do it. So as always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.